Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Alves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And joining us on the bullpen Zoom, it's Chris Zook.
Play ball, let's go. It's the first time all three of us have been together for a while.
Yeah, I'm back, and I guess I'll start with an apology to any Minnesota Twins fans, because I guess, like, my going away.
Yeah, you suck
a swoon. I didn't want to... you know, necessarily jinx when I left, but I felt like things were going along nicely. And then they started losing to the Royals, and then they started losing to everyone. And
the Tigers even.
Tough beats.
Literally everybody.
Yeah. So, I'll begin with my apology that I didn't realize that my going away would do this to the Twins, but that is what it is. But on a more serious and somber note, we're going to pour one out for Tom Seaver, who passed away earlier this week. Mets franchise pitcher. I mean, I've read the greatest Met. I don't know if you would necessarily agree, either of you, but I mean, certainly one of the, like, Mount Rushmore of Mets.
Definitely. Tom, terrific. The franchise, I think, was one of the nicknames for him. I thought the Mets did a nice thing. So we're taping this on Thursday. It's going to air on Friday. They had dirt on their right knee, I believe. That's where Seaver, what he would pitch, and the way his delivery was, he would kind of rub the pitching mound as he would deliver. So I thought that was a nice little touch that they did at the for the Mets team before the game after that Tom Seaver passed away.
Yeah, definitely. Because of his peculiar delivery and the fact that, yeah, he did come down on the mound like that, it is a nice kind of hat tip or, you know, nod towards him. You know, in this era of, like, you know, some sort of patch on the sleeve and stuff, it's neat to see a club do something different and much more personal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a lot of experience or knowledge about Tom Seaver, you know, well before my time. But, you know, everything you read about him is that, you know, it was basically like him and Nolan Ryan, right, for that era of pitchers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was part of, I think, the Miracle Mets, right, of 69.
Yeah.
Was kind of his kind of, you know, plus also I think he had a no-hitter, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of complete games. I mean, again, remember, pitchers would do that a lot. But, yeah, he was one of these kind of phenoms who actually panned out, right? So there's a lot – what I remember hearing about him in the past and just kind of a little bit now is that, yeah, he was one of these guys that a lot of people – there's a lot of buzz about him, but, you know, that he backed it up, right? So, yeah, I mean, you know, Hall of Famer, obviously. And I would agree with Mike. I was just – think, you know, if you're looking at the Mount Rushmore of the Mets, right? I mean, there's there's kind of that era, and then you go into the 80s, right? You go into the one that they won in 86, and you know, you could do Dwight Gooden or Hernandez, Strawberry, or then if you want to go to this era, you could go a Piazza a bit, you know, I guess maybe David Wright, maybe on the peripheral, but you know, but
Gary, I would think Gary Carter was
Gary Carter, sure, yeah, the kid, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, but you know, I mean, right up there, right? I mean, he. Yeah, I mean, and you know, and it's unfortunate too, because the way I read it was that he was sort of had some ailments already, and then I guess COVID was also another factor in there. So, you know, I mean, it's just unfortunate the times we're living right now.
Very much.
Threw a no hitter in 1978, June 16th for the Reds. You can actually watch the full game on YouTube. Clocks in at a brisk hour and 48 minutes. Oh,
man. Right.
That's,
back
that's a
in
tasty,
the...
That's like a soccer time.
That's no kidding. Crazy. An hour 48. Jeez. I mean, you know what? I mean, funny enough that I saw someone tweeted this week, and I don't know where it was or whatever, but, you know, they always talk about the baseball time, and yeah, it is a lot. But you know what? They were saying what the average was for football games was around 320 or something, and you never hear people, you know, and I get it, because there's more action, I guess. I put that in quotes a bit. If you time out an NFL game, I guess it'd be like 12 minutes of real action. But yeah, I mean, 148 would be – that's a crisp baseball time. That it would be – if we could have that every game, my goodness, that would be fantastic.
Okay. So pivoting off of Seaver and in diametric opposition to my Twins, the Blue Jays.
Yes, the Blue Jays. Let's go. They are currently sitting in the eighth playoff spot. They have a winning record, ladies and gentlemen, the Blue Jays. Currently at 19-16, and as we were actually talking, Teoscar Hernandez hit the go-ahead three-run home run against the Red Sox, so we could be tied with the Yankees by the end of tonight. Are you kidding me? Let's go.
I will just say this, and I don't like to state these all the time, but I did say at the start of the year, I'm, you know, not the biggest fan like Brian is, but I said, hey, with this system and the way it is, that the Jays could be in the mix. I mean, my goodness, the Jays
not
are
even
in the...
just because of the system, though. Like, we're talking, they have the, if they win tonight, they'll be tied with the Yankees for the sixth best record in the American League. That's a regular wild card spot, Zook. That's not messing around.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The caveat is we've played. You know, less than 40 games. I mean,
it does not matter. This team is legit, and they went out and got some
dudes. No, I'm just saying, but right, I got it. I'm just saying, if we're doing like a 162 season, we're only a quarter of the way.
They went out and got some dudes, though, Zook, at the trade deadline.
I know, I wanted to talk to you about that.
I do want to talk, yeah.
Because I thought the Jays were quite aggressive for the first time in a long time, right?
Like, freaking exciting is what it was.
I thought the Robbie Ray one of all the deals, I thought was the
oh, I think the Stripling one's the best one. He's still under team control, dude.
I get 2023. That, but Robbie Ray was, I mean, some people were projecting that this guy could have a massive year this year, and he just fell out of, it was horrible. He started out ridiculous bad. But I think as the potential, I mean, yeah, I mean, I get about the service time and all that, but I'm just saying on pure potential, if he ever got back to anywhere what he – people were projecting him to be. I mean, I think that's a steal. But Stripling is another one, which is fantastic. I thought I would give him an A for sure for this trade deadline. I thought
Taewon
they
Walker
went out there.
Great
Taewon
too.
Walker was another one.
Jonathan VR.
Yeah, you know, even VR. I mean, you know, I mean, he's going to be great while Bichette's still injured, and then he can still fill in. Like, he plays like almost every position on the infield, right? So he could be slotted anywhere. I would totally agree. I was very impressed that they actually were very aggressive in there, where a lot of other teams, big market teams, didn't do anything, and it was tough because you know, what's going on and COVID and all that stuff and how much you want to push and stuff. But hey, the Jays are in it. They're making the push. They want
the Blue Jays. Let's go.
So Brian, you were talking Stripling there. Did you read the piece that Keegan Matheson wrote for MLB.com about Stripling?
I haven't had a chance. Is that the one about how he's like it's different for him because of the he's used to like doing numbers and stuff more?
He is a numbers guy. He works as a financial advisor because he studied finance at Texas A&M. He and Kevin Biggio knew each other pretty well because they train at the same offseason facility. And, of course, he played with Hyunjin Ryu on the Dodgers.
Right.
So he said, like, he got comfortable very quickly and was, like, fully kind of, like, invested in this moving over to the Jays in this trade deadline. He sounds pretty positive.
So excited that he's going to be part of the Jays rotation going forward. So excited. You know, and that's something we actually talked about on here with Arash, that my two biggest concerns with the Jays going forward were like the starting rotation outside of Ryu and Pearson in the future, like who you got. And now you've got Stripling till 2023, and that guy is a guy. Like, he's already posted a three win above replacement season. So like that is a dude right there.
He's also a podcaster apparently.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to listening, but yeah, it's amazing. I'm super excited about that. I talked about Jonathan VR on here before. About how I don't understand why he would have gotten just cut by the Orioles, remember? Because yeah. I was like, he had a 4-win above replacement season. He's had a 4-win above replacement season and a 3-win above replacement season in the last 4 years.
A like, quality middle infielder with a
this
bit
is,
of
the, yeah, this is exactly it. This is a guy that he's a legitimate, like he had 20 home runs and 40 steals last year for the O's. Like this is
but
a guy
no
that
one steals.
He's a threat on the base paths. He's a good defensive infielder, and he can put a little pop in there. This guy's good, and
and they took even a flyer in Daniel Vogelback, right?
Yes.
I mean, he last year he was an all-star with Seattle, right? Like, yep. I mean, you know, he dropped off the face of the earth after that. But if he ever could regain some magic, right? I mean, you know, you slot him in a DH or first or whatever. But I mean, I'm all for. You know, we've been talking many a year about the Jays sitting there doing nothing, right? And here's a chance where, you know, it is a year where Boston is not going anywhere fast, obviously. Baltimore mm-hmm. is going to be Baltimore, and they're in the mix, and there's extra wild cards to be picked up. Why not, right? They're there, and, you know, all you need to do is get into the postseason, and then you can get hot. You can run your rotation. The Buffalo, it seems like that fits this team. They might want to never go back to Toronto. I'll be honest there, Brian.
Wow, how dare you?
I'm not
how
joking.
How dare you?
That's love that
rude.
Place.
That's true.
Rude. It's true.
The dome is nice.
Oh. Stop.
The dome is nice, Zook.
Nice, like as in what? Like that they don't have to play there this year? Nice?
No, the dome is legitimately a nice place for a ball game. It's a nice place to watch a ball game.
Have you gone to actually real ballparks? Because, you know, that's not a real ballpark.
I've been to real ballparks, Zook. I can list them all off if you want me to.
I've been to Aubrey Ballpark, right? And that is probably, other than Oakland, probably the worst ballpark that's out there.
Are you kidding me? Are you seriously going to sit there after saying that you've been to every ballpark and tell me that it's worse than the freaking Trope? Get out.
Okay, so
get out of this call right now, Zook. That's embarrassing.
No, it's not because
that's
you know
an
what?
Embarrassing take.
No, it's not.
I've been to a number of ballparks too, and it's perfectly acceptable. It's a perfectly acceptable ballpark.
That's such a weak compliment to that. It's perfectly acceptable.
It's better than a ballpark.
It's better than like I would rather go
open when you went, Brian.
Yeah, I've been to a sure. game both with the dome open
the
dome, and
the dome closed. When it's open, at least it's bearable. But other than that, have you been there when there's 10,000 people in there? Because it's horrible.
And when, yes,
and
I
when
have.
It, and so when that dome
I
is
went
closed,
to a ball game. I went to a Jays game in 2010.
When that dome is
when
closed.
Was, when there was
when the
nobody
dome is
there.
Closed, when the dome is closed, you might as well just shut it off. That's not real, like, atmosphere of a ball game. I'm telling you right now, they're loving Buffalo.
I would
right
rather
now.
Go to a ball game. I would rather go to a ball game there than, like, Chase Field.
I mean, you know, Chase Field is fine. I mean, that's acceptable. That's not the greatest. I mean, I'm not gonna say, yeah. I mean, whatever. You're talking about the bottom tier of the of ballparks. But anyways, we're losing the lead here a little bit here because I know you're on your Jays train and woo woo and all that stuff. But
so excited.
Let's talk about.
I will give them credit that these are some good moves because they're like, they're not splashy, but they're all like guys with potential. And so it's like they do it on the cheap, and that's that front office. Shapiro is not exactly
that's
like
perfect for what they're doing, right? It works in their budget, and these are serviceable players that actually can pan out this year and in the future. I totally agree. I do want to talk real quick about the team that probably won the trade deadline, which would be the San Diego Padres.
Oh,
they're fun. Oh
has
my
anyone
God,
touched base
fun.
With to Jared me, to see how he's doing losing Mike Clevinger?
Probably not in a good spot.
I mean, but if these guys don't do what they did earlier about COVID, he'd still be a Cleveland player, wouldn't he?
Right? Clevinger?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Well, you don't think it was because of that? Or
no, I don't think it's because of that. I think
I think it's 100% like that. Dude, they exasperate
I think
the
it's
thing.
Because that front office is cheap. I think it's because I think it's because they know that they can't. I don't. I think
they're in first place right now.
I don't think it matters. I think it's cheap, and I think they think that no matter what the heck happens, they can always develop more pitchers.
I think that totally alienated. I think
if it was entirely about that, then why the heck didn't Plesac get traded too?
They probably tried to trade him.
I don't think so. If anybody would take Plesac right now, honestly. He's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher with a huge upside. If they were trying to trade him, they absolutely would have been able to find a trade partner. No, I think this is a money thing, dude. I think they just didn't want to pay Clevinger.
But I'll tell you, the Padres, you know, they I thought they cleaned up, right? Didn't they? They got a whole whack of players that could help them right now. And I think, like you said, Brian, they're a fun team. I mean, Tatis Jr. is, no offense to your Mike Trout, but boy, that guy, that should be the face
of
baseball, right?
I love Tatis. That guy's the face of baseball right now.
Yeah, to me, that's the guy that they should be running out every promo, Subway or whatever sponsors doing MLB right now, and just get him out there, right?
I was listening to Joe Posnanski podcast, and they were saying, you know, like Tatis is more like a Ken Griffey Jr. type presence.
Oh yeah, he's
versus
he's
a Mike Trout. Since, like they're both exceptional ball players and great athletes, but the dynamism is just right there for Tatis, whereas, you know, Trout is just workmanlike.
He's just not built that way, right? That's just not his DNA, right? Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, you know, not everyone can be Ken Griffey Jr., right? Not everyone can be, you know, that they like, you know, they're just warm to it, right? That they're natural. He's, you know, every time you see a highlight of this guy making plays, he's having fun out there. And you know what? He's breaking those unwritten rules.
Oh, ooh. My gosh. Yeah. the home run on the 3-0 pitch.
Yeah. Don't, how about get him out? How about we
that's,
talk
that's
about
the
that
thing, right?
A thousand times? That why so don't you try times. And get him out then? Because what I've never heard of any sport where you're just supposed to, what, lay down the bat? Right, you don't run the touchdown in at the end of the game or shoot the puck in the net. Right?
I don't know. I mean, American football, you get a little bit of buzz. Like, remember that in 2007 when the Patriots were going undefeated and still running up the score, there was a little bit of buzz of people saying they were unsportsmanlike. But like, it wasn't like anybody went out there and hurt the Patriots players on the opposite side, right?
Right. Yeah, you don't have that retribution of, oh well, you know, we're gonna get, you know, we're not gonna fine Belichick because
there is a little bit of that in hockey too, though. Like, if you run up the score in hockey, there's a little bit of that. in hockey. A little bit,
but it's nothing to. Yeah, but I mean, there's already fighting in the game, right? You know, it's built.
Yeah,
in the
that's
game
exactly that what'll end up happening, right? Like, right. The, like, goons, I mean, the two goons will call him. We'll call each other out, and that'll be that.
It's just like, it was just absurd again that we were just like that. We endlessly talked about that again. This has got brought up like, hey, you know what?
It's ridiculous.
Just get him out, you know, or you know what? Walk him. If you don't want him to hit a home run, just intentionally walk him. You put up four fingers now, and you don't even have to pitch to him. You just say, hey, we're intentionally walking him, right? We don't want him to hit another home run against us. I mean, you know, whatever, right? I mean, the one thing is, you know what? The Padres, where they made that splash with Machado and that Hosmer and stuff, where they were trying to do it, and then they kind of fell short. You know, they're all in for this. And I like that. I love teams that just say, let's do it. We got a chance. This is a year. Everyone has a chance, it seems like, right?
Yeah, AJ Preller has shown himself to be a pretty good GM. You know, he's constantly making moves. And this was a deadline for him where he took a whole bunch of talent that he had that was prospects that were blocked by legitimately good young MLB players and just said, okay, well, I don't really have room for you. I'm not going to have room for you. I'm just going to consolidate this talent. And he went out and got two better catchers than the one that he had. He picked up a DH first baseman that'll fill in while Tommy Pham's hand is hurt, and he went and got the best player to change teams during the deadline in Clevenger.
Yeah. I mean, they even got, like, I was looking at the, you know, they got Trevor Rosenthal, right? Like, I mean, he's a solid bullpen guy, right? I mean, they got Mitch Moreland, you know, solid guy, right, that can play different positions. I mean, just, like, I mean, you know, the Dodgers are they're running away from this a bit, right? But, you know, everyone knows that they're going to come back to the mean a bit because
the Padres might be the second-best team in the league right now.
They might be, right, in that division. And, yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, this is and you know, the Dodgers aren't a solid bet. Everyone knows this, right? They haven't won it yet, the World Series. They've been close a couple times, but – you know, and, you know, trash can banging aside, but, you know, it's still there, right? They need to secure that, you know, somewhere in the next couple of years with this team. But I love what the Padres did. I like that it was busy. I like that it was active. I thought it was going to be quiet this year, but there's teams who wanted to go for it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Possibly this extended, like the expanded playoff potential had made everyone kind of a little thirsty, right? Like you've got some teams who haven't been in it who are like, hey, here's a chance. And, you know, no matter how many asterisks we're going to put behind the pennant this year because of this shortened season and stuff, it's, you know, if you hoist the World Series, you hoist the World Series.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if the Jays win, I'm going to celebrate just as hard as if it was a regular one.
You're going to buy the T-shirt for sure.
Of course I will, and the hat, and the fake, and the fake ring that I'm sure that they'll put out, and.
I know you're all. You got to slow the roll a little bit here. Hey, we come to the end of October and you get that ring. I'm very happy for you.
Oh, I'm not saying that they will. I don't think that they will. I don't even think that they'll win a playoff round. But it's sure fun.
Of course it is. It's always better when your team's in the mix, right? I mean, there's been a couple of years and it's just been horrible to cheer for that team because there hasn't been much to cheer for. And,
I wouldn't necessarily say horrible.
It's pretty horrible. They haven't been that good. They haven't been that. Let's just be honest. They haven't been that good. And it's. I mean, I know you're going to defend them all the way, but I mean, it hasn't. I mean, especially from the bookend of 14 and 15, where they did, you know, so close and all that stuff. It's just, it's hard to rebuild. I'm just being honest as a fan.
It happened always, pretty quickly.
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's not 10 years, sure. I mean, but it's still tough. I mean, there's years. It's tougher to be. When you have no chance at the start of the year, that's where it gets tough, right? At least this year, I think you're totally right, Michael, because of so many teams that are available, that teams, you know, there's more windows of opportunity for a lot of teams, right? And, you know, I mean, geez, the Marlins are in it, right? Even though they were trying to give away players, and now they're sort of in the mix, and there's a whole bunch of teams. I mean, Detroit's sort of in it right now. I mean, when, you know, they don't have a great percentage, but they're sort of still in that mix, right? I mean, that's sort of where we're at here. So I mean, I think it's good for baseball, right? I think especially there's been years where, you know, basically by September already, you kind of knew who was already in the playoffs and there wasn't much. There's only maybe a couple teams vying for wild cards. I can definitely see them expanding wild cards going forward, right? I mean, I don't see why wouldn't they? There's more money to be had for everyone.
More gate for sure. So, yeah, no, I can't imagine baseball moving away from that. Before we wrap up, I do want to tip my cap to Judge Robert Schaffer of the Texas District Court, who somewhat surprisingly brushed back the Houston Astros' effort to have litigation thrown out. This is the season ticket holders lawsuit.
Oh.
Now, there is still the possibility that this could get stayed on appeal, but at the moment, as it stands, the ticket holders can proceed to discovery, which means they can depose players, front office executives, and the Astros and Jim Crane. Quoting Daniel Kaplan from The Athletic earlier today, he has Bob Hilliard, one of the lawyers for the season ticket holders, saying, "This is going to be painful for the Astros, but it's a deserved pain. Under oath, the full extent of front office and top executive involvement in the genesis of this cheating playbook should finally become crystal clear." He's got some pretty harsh words, but the upside of this case is that the season ticket holders, the way that they're arguing it, because there has been, you know, season ticket holders take teams like the Patriots to court over Spygate and things like that, is that they basically are arguing that it was like malfeasance in marketing. That they were sold tickets on the promise of this rebuild and this like development of this team. And if it was predicated on cheating instead of actually like building this squad, that's like lying in marketing. Right. And so that's the kind of basis for this case. So I'm definitely keeping my eye on it, but it'll be very interesting if they do get to discovery and they do get to put these guys under oath.
No, that
Jesus. Do you think they lie about it?
Well, they'll bang a trash can, that's for sure.
Sure enough. But
I'm not going to put it past them, right? Like, you know.
Oh, of course. I mean, in this day and age, anything is possible. Let's just be honest with that. Hey, can I tip a cap real quick also?
Sure.
I was just reading about Clayton Kershaw. He's the third youngest pitcher in MLB history to strike out 2,500 batters. Nolan Ryan and Walter Johnson was only a little bit younger than he was. So, I mean,
that's some pretty incredible company to be in.
Even though exactly. And they were saying he's the fifth pitcher to reach 2,500 career strikeouts by his age 32. And he just beat out Pedro Martinez, and Hall of Famer Tom Seaver did it also in his year 32, as we were talking about at the start. So, I mean, all of them are Hall of Famers, and Clayton Kershaw, I mean, is well on his way to that as well, even though he's slowing down a bit now. But I think sort of where he's slotted in that rotation kind of maybe helps him, so he isn't, you know,
carrying the load.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just at the end of the day, maybe that helps him. We'll see what happens in the postseason. But tip the hat to Kershaw, number three fastest at 2,500.
Well, I mean, there's a guy who got lit up and victimized by that Astros cheating scandal. So.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's just right. That's the whole thing. It always goes back to that. I mean, there's a reason why this guy who's unhittable pretty much, then all of a sudden they knew everything that he was throwing. Well, now we know why.
And which really flavored a lot of people's perception of him as a, you know, October flameout, right?
Right.
He just didn't have it when the game's
counted. It's easier when you know what the pitches are coming, right? Then you can get hits off him.
It's very true. Well, looking at the time, we're going to have to wrap things up. It's good to be back. Good to talk some ball with you guys.
One last thing.
Sure.
We are more than halfway through the season, and the current MLB league leader, or I guess there's five of them that are tied for league lead in home runs, currently 13 home runs. So I am
right on it. What are you talking about?
I'm like
25.
We're over, yeah, and we're over halfway, and it's we're over halfway. So I like my chances.
You know guys who might actually do it?
Guys are gonna fade.
Mike Trout do this. Mike Trout could actually help me out this year.
I really like my chances here. I really like my chances.
We'll see what happens.
We will. All right, well, we'll turn things over to Front Burner, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning into the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM.
Strike three, you're out.